One thing that I know for sure from this game is that you're very loud and lively, which is fantastic. That's why I love being with university students. And I was thinking about it as we were worshiping. And I'm going to share a little bit as we go along, just from my own life experiences. But I was just actually getting very almost emotional because I was just thinking about what God has done in my life over the last, over the years of my life, and especially in university. And for you, how God wants to work in your lives as well. So there are some non-university students, right? Seems like there's some high school students. All right, good to have you here. And some working people too, right? You guys have something to prove? Why are you so loud? How about university students? You guys doing good? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Can we pray? And then we're going to get started in the message today in our Connect series. So let's pray together. God, I thank you for each and every single one of these brothers and sisters here. God, I'm thankful that you love them. And I'm thankful, Father, that you have marked out their steps from even before they were born until the day that they die. God, I just want to pray that they would learn to worship you and know you and follow your ways. Your way is the best way. And it is a life that is good and that is satisfying and purposeful. And so, God, I pray that you would just speak to every single person that's here and that you'd be glorified in the way that we respond, in obedience and in worship and in surrender and trust in you. So thank you, God. Take this time for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to imagine, did everyone get handouts? If you need a handout, okay. That's just for your reference. And what we want to really cultivate in our church is just, a culture of we're going to learn through Scripture, and we believe in Scripture as being God's Word and something that is absolutely critical for change in our lives. And so I want you to take notes and to think about things, and you will have a time at the end of your end of this time with your life groups to share together a little bit. And we'll just see how the Spirit leads. I just feel like actually maybe God will lead us in a different direction or something unexpected. So we're going to be starting part 4 of our Connect series and talk about brotherhood. We're going to talk about brotherhood. And I want you to imagine with me 2 different scenarios. Okay, let me describe the first scenario. If you want to like close your eyes and really use your imagination, go for it. If you don't want to do that, that's okay too, okay? The first scene is this. The first scene is of a life group community in the middle of the academic year, perhaps like right now, when people are getting more and more comfortable with one another. You used to be strangers at the beginning of the academic year, but now you're getting more comfortable with each other. But there is a lot of sarcasm and a lot of rude jokes in sprayed back and forth between guys and girls in the life group. There is almost a spirit of mistrust and definitely a spirit of awkwardness between the guys and the girls because of a short history of careless words, careless actions, and hurt feelings. And some of those hurt feelings are not necessarily expressed, but are in people's hearts. There are actually even some pre-Christians who are new to the life group, but are taken aback by the way that guys and girls treat each other. They come out for maybe a couple weeks, but soon they stop coming out. So the life group leader, as a good life group leader, meets up with one of those visitors and asks this person why he stopped coming out. And the life group, and unfortunately, that person answers in this way. I saw how the guys and girls treated each other and how they treated each other so badly. And to be honest, I've had enough of this, these kinds of bad relationships in my life, and I don't want to be a part of another group like that. That's the first. A little bit of a sad story, right? Let's take another scene for us, okay? Use your imagination. The second scene is a beautiful Saturday, and there's a buzz in the air because it's the wedding day of two members of the church. This might be happening. I'm not sure when. Right, Pastor John? I'm not sure when. But use your imaginations, okay? Everybody, use your imaginations. Pastor John, you don't have to use your imagination, okay? You actually have to be planning for this, okay? Now, on that day, they were members of HMCC since their years as university students, and in some sense, they grew up in the church, being discipled by fellow brothers and sisters and serving deeply in the church. In fact, their friendship budded and developed within the context of serving in the church, where they learned how to have healthy, honoring relationships with men and women. In fact, mentors walked through the first tricky steps of their courtship and their dating relationship and helped them through a lot of ups and downs. And the great blessing of this day is that everybody can witness this couple making a commitment before God and before the community to be husband and wife for the rest of their lives. And God's family and new earthly family intersect for the very first time on that day. Actually, both of these stories are true stories. And it's happened more than once. Okay, so I'm not just talking about Pastor John, although I think his is the next one coming up, right? And I've heard of incidents of the first and wonder to myself, really, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not knowing how to honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's our responsibility. It's through these hard lessons that we're going through this kind of teaching about what brotherhood and sisterhood really should look like in the church. I've also been an eyewitness of the second scene. I've experienced it for myself. Nikki and I were both members of the church. We got married in the church. And for us, it might have been a little bit stressful on that day, but it is something that we celebrate. We learned how to be friends together. We learned how to honor one another. And through that, we became married. We started our family. And really, it's exciting. It's been a fantastic journey for me, and I'm thankful so much for that experience. This afternoon, I would like to propose to us that we have to learn how to build healthy, honoring, non-romantic relationships with each other. I think actually if I were to, actually be honest, or if you were to be honest with me, I know that many of us would dream about and would love to have and would love to be in a relationship, and be in a romantic relationship with somebody, and that's what you kind of dream of. Some of you might even idolize it. But what I would like to tell you is that before that ever happens, we need to grow in the way that we know how to honor and relate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our last Access gathering that we had 2 weeks ago, we talked about honoring your sister. This week, there is so much material about how to honor your brother. So it's going to be brothers, how do you honor and relate to your fellow brothers? And for sisters, how you ought to relate with your brothers in Christ as well. So, are you ready? Okay, you guys seem to be ready. So I'm going to read Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. And hopefully you can follow along. We have it up here. So I'll just read the entire text, and then I'm going to just teach through different principles from this text. Okay? But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Amen. Simple one thing from Titus 2, verses 1 through 8. It was the one thing 2 weeks ago at our last access. It's the one thing today as well, because it's the same text. Treat each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ's family. Let's learn how to treat each other. And many of us, we don't have a great model for family and how to treat brothers and sisters in our biological families. And so we need to learn. We need instruction from God's word so that we can know how to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ's family. Let me start with verse 1. It says in verse 1 here, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine." You know, there's just so much confusion about manhood and womanhood. And today, as we're focusing on manhood and men, it's so important that we give a biblical, compelling vision of manhood and womanhood. And like I said, we're going to talk about manhood. And so I want to just give a definition right off the bat of what manhood is. It's real manhood. R-E-A-L. It's on your handout. R stands for rejecting passivity. E stands for expecting God's reward. A stands for accepting responsibility. And L stands for leading courageously. In our church, for men, this is the vision that we want to lay out before you. This is what the Bible says it means to be a man. This is who Jesus was perfectly and whom we as men want to imitate. It's through Jesus' work that we have life, period. We have new life in Him. That's for all of us. And so we're going to delve into this, and I'm going to challenge you, men, to take the next steps in developing as real men. Okay, there's so many fakes out there, and what I want you to be, and what I want us here, men and women, to cultivate in our church, is a culture of real manhood. Okay, so I'm going to answer two questions, brothers. How should you relate to your brothers in Christ? And sisters, how should you relate to your brothers in Christ? So let's take a look at the first. Brothers, how should you relate to your brothers in Christ? When I think about my university days, like I said, as I was just worshiping, God kind of made my mind drift to when I was a student. And I would have to admit that when I started as an 18-year-old student in university, number one, there's no pictures I could find. I don't know. I have no pictures from university. And we had cameras, okay? We did not have digital cameras back then. Can you believe that? And so I don't have any pictures of it, okay? But what you have to take my word for is that I don't think I was a human being by then, okay? I was 18 years old, and I don't think I had the basic skills of being a person that I needed. I look back, and I often tell people, you know, I didn't know how to take care of myself very well. I didn't know basic things about, you know, sleeping on time and eating good food, eating the right foods. And so I would sleep at like 4 in the morning every day. And I hope that none of you do that, but I'm sure some of you do. And I would wake up at noon because I had class at, my first class was at noon. So don't get mad at me for that. But even with that, I didn't know how to study. And so I was always behind. I did very poorly in some subjects because I basically didn't know how to study, and I didn't know how to be in a lecture and learn during that lecture time. I didn't know how to prepare for exams and do homework diligently. I just wasn't a human being enough to be able to do those things. I didn't know about relationships with people very well. So I didn't have healthy boundaries with sisters, with girls. I didn't know how to build good friendships with guys. But what I'm so thankful for is that what I learned as a young man in undergraduate at the University of Illinois was God brought me through this process, starting with just Jesus Christ and starting with the gospel. And he started forming me into a young man, into a human being, okay? And, you know, that's the vision that I have for you as well as young men here, is that God would be shaping you and forming you as a man, as a real man, as he did in my life. From Titus 2, verses 1 through 8, I want to share four principles to highlight for us, okay? First is contribute to a culture of real manhood. Contribute to a culture of real manhood. Verse 2 says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. When I look at this, this is so opposite of society's definition of manhood, isn't it? Most guys have no idea what it means to be a man. If I were to ask you, if I were to take a survey and ask you, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a man? Most of us would have no idea how to define that. If I were to go on the streets, there would probably be even more, you know, you guys will give good answers because it's me asking you and you know that I'm a pastor. But if I were to go out on the street and people did not know I was a pastor, and I would ask them, what does it mean to be a man? I think people will give all kinds of definitions. They'd say, it's if you're rich, if you're successful in your career, it's if you've had sex with a lot of people. It's these are the definitions that people think. This is what it means to be manly, to have a lot of muscles, right? And that's what it means to be a man. And those are so far away from this definition or description of manhood. And I think because we don't have a biblical definition of manhood, most of us, let's be honest, most of us struggle with issues like being insecure. I'm talking about you guys. Insecure. Addictions to different things like pornography. Substance abuse. We have issues with anger. We have issues with sexual identity. Most of us, if I were to talk to you and be honest with you and speak heart to heart with you, most of us would say we are confused about what it means to be a man. But verse 2 describes the norm of what, the norm of the church to be this way. The norm of the church ought to be people, men, who are mature, who are healthy, who are spiritual. Simply put, other brothers, this is in the church, the culture ought to be other brothers getting into each other's lives and getting in, allowing brothers to get into your life and you getting into other brothers' lives. I want to ask you, you know, there's a simple way to think about it. Who's your Paul and who's your Timothy? I think for many of us, we want to start out with who's your Paul. There are many men that who can be the Paul in your life, like Paul disciple Timothy. There are many great men in our church who you can learn from. Okay? And I want to elevate them. I want to say, you know the life group leaders in our church? I think they're great guys. And they're people that you can learn from. They might not have all the answers. They might not have it all put together. But they are people that you can learn from that are a few steps ahead of you. And I would say, get discipled by some of these older brothers. Ask them. You know, one of the best things I ever did was I learned how to be proactive in asking other brothers to disciple me. And because of that, there are just some of these men that have really helped me in my spiritual journey. One of them is going to be speaking at our congregational retreat this January. Pastor Eddie Byun from Korea. Others are going to be coming to speak. And these are the ones that have influenced me in my life. Just because you know how it started? Just by asking. Hey, do you think I could just spend time with you? Do you think we can read the Bible together? Do you think we could have lunch together once a week? and just asking these older brothers. Some of them may not be here. They may be brothers that are working adults. Some of them may be married guys that you're scared of. Okay? But that's why we have something like Let's Connect or Get Connected. Is it Let's Connect or Get Connected? See, I have no idea what's going on. Tell you, it's called Get Connected. Let's Connect. Okay, Let's Connect. So this is an opportunity for you to connect with other, to get connected with other brothers who are older and who can give you guidance and wisdom in your life. Pursue those kinds of relationships. So contribute to a culture of real manhood. Second, sharpen each other to follow Jesus in practical ways. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Encourage each other to be spiritual. I think many times guys, we're afraid or it's really unnatural for us to be spiritual. To read the Bible, to pray, to worship, to sing songs, to play guitar, to play an instrument and sing and worship, to journal. Okay, there's some people out there say, you know what? Don't ask guys to journal. Don't ask guys to read. I'm like, come on, what? No. Okay? We're not going to lower the bar to think, okay, men cannot read. Men do not like books. Okay? Men can only learn about God through YouTube. That means before YouTube ever existed, men could not know about God. Guys, let's be spiritual. Let's learn how to pray. Let's learn how to worship. Let's learn how to read the Bible. And other books are great too. You know, this is what we want to try to teach through Life Group and through Sunday Celebration, right? Where in Life Group, you're realizing that it's okay to talk about spiritual stuff. When you read, when you're in Life Group and you're studying the Bible, we're actually teaching you a technique or a method to read the Bible. To ask questions like who and what, where, when, why, how. And to make interpretations from those observations. And then to apply it in your life. In Life Group, you learn how to share prayer requests and then pray for one another. I know that many of us probably feel very uncomfortable praying out loud with somebody else. But let's make it the norm where we're learning how to be spiritual. We know how to, when the time comes when you're with another brother in Christ or you're with somebody, say, let's pray. Then you're going to be like, yeah, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you right now. Bam. Dear God, praying for me. Heaven comes down. Spirit comes. That's power in the times that you pray. Let's be spiritual people and spiritual men. You know, that's what you learn in Life. That's what you're learning in Sunday Celebration, that you can learn how to sing and not be self-conscious. Not worry about what people think about you. Even if you have a loud, if you have a terrible voice, just sing, okay? Just sing loudly. That's fantastic. Try LCG with each other, life change groups. As we move on throughout the ministry year, I would say in your life groups, your life group leader is going to ask you, do you want to be in a life change group? That's when you just meet with another brother, and you read the Bible, you pray, and you hold each other accountable. That might freak you out, right? I know for a lot of people, when they say, wait, what the world is that? Why do you do that in church? Because most, you know, in maybe the church background that you're from, you'll never even think about doing something like that. In our church, we want that to be normal. That guys, men will hang out with, a man will hang out with another man, read the Bible, pray, share about their struggles, be accountable to one another, sharpen each other. You know what I see? I see that is that's biblical. That's in the Bible. That's what we ought to do. Verse 6 and 7 shows that this is what we do. You know, generally men are poorly disciplined and are really bad at managing themselves. Generally, women are a lot better about this, okay? And I'm not sure why, but that's just how God has wired us. And I think for men, that's why we have to work and put that much more effort in learning important life skills like delayed gratification. Like in saying, I'm going to make sure I get my work done before I play these video games or before I go out and play this, you know, sport or whatever. I'm going to make sure my responsibilities are done before I goof around and before I complain. We need to learn things like work ethic. We need to learn things like managing ourselves, managing our time, managing our money. Even though you don't have a lot of money right now. Managing your energy and your emotions. I think that's why we can live out loud with other men. We can be life on life with other men. And this is what I want to keep challenging you, and I want to keep instilling into our church, and for you, because many of you are new in our church, is this is the norm. This is what we want in our churches. We want people to hang out with each other. We want you to hang out in the dorms and to come to go to condo and hang out in people's apartments and be life on life with each other. And we want you to talk about real things that are going on in your lives. Not having it as awkward or like, you know, strange or foreign, but something that's normal. Let's make that normal. I know for some of us it will take some time to get used to this, but this is the vision that we have. Is we want to sharpen each other to follow Jesus in practical ways. This is, in your life, this is a season of your life where you have the opportunity to be life on life with other men. And it's a lot harder when you start working. It's a lot harder when there's not a concentration of people, like-minded people, where you can spend time with each other. So take advantage of that while you're here. Amen? Let's take a look at the third principle. Learn to communicate with others well. Learn to communicate with others well. Verses 7 and 8, it says this. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. When you look at this, the inherent understanding of this is your teaching. Paul is telling Titus, you're teaching, you're communicating what dignity is, you're communicating what integrity is, you're communicating what sound speech is to other people. You know, most men are really bad communicators, okay? We're bad at listening, bad at speaking. I mean, just think about most of our fathers, okay? My father's the same way. You know, when I look at how I relate with my kids, I find myself the same struggle. Is I don't know what to talk to my kids about sometimes. And in many ways, I'm like a professional speaker, right? I just speak for a living. But when it comes to my kids, sometimes it's so difficult. But this is where we have to learn to have substantial, meaningful, and personal conversations. You know, sometimes I remember, I was telling this to somebody recently. I remember at a student missions project that we had one year. And I remember distinctly being very frustrated because in our times, you know, in our missions projects, we're busy with doing ministry, okay? For many of you who have not been a part of the projects, we're busy doing ministry, but we also have a lot of time to just hang out and talk. But what was so frustrating to me was when these students had like an hour or two to talk, they would just talk about the most meaningless things ever. The silliest things to talk about, they would spend hours talking about it. To the point where I started like physically getting frustrated by what they were talking about. And I had to pull aside the team leaders and say, hey guys, this is such a waste of time. We have 2 hours or 1 hour or 45 minutes to talk about stuff, and all we're talking about is like anime or funny things that happen to us or just, I don't know, animals or something like that, and that's all we're talking about. I think for us men, it's especially difficult to learn how to have substantial, meaningful, and personal conversations with each other. I think it's also hard to resolve conflicts in a healthy manner. But these are things that are so important for you to learn as life skills. It's life skills to learn how to have meaningful conversations. Most of us, I would guess, are not used to it. We did not talk that way with our dads. They did not talk to us in those ways. In fact, what I always tell people is that every man needs to hear these words from other men. These are the things that men need to hear from other men. I love you. I'm proud of you. And I believe in you. Let's just do a test, okay? Men, can you do this? Find a guy close to you, okay? And just say that. I love you, okay? Just say that, all right? Like, some of you guys are, like, cooler than others, so you're, like, saying it, and you're like, I love you, man, right? Okay. 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 You can stop saying I love you. You're going overboard. I'll tell you what most of you are doing at this point, okay? You are overcompensating the awkwardness by laughing and saying like stuff like I love you, bro. Ha ha ha. Right? And then you like punch them or something. Because it's just too awkward and it's never come out of your mouths and you've never heard it from another guy where they've actually said, I love you. You've never actually heard someone say something like, I'm proud of you. Or I believe in you. I make sure that when I'm with my boys, with my sons, I tell them this regularly. Because this is what men need to hear from other men. They need to be reassured that there are other men who are confident in what they're able to do. Whom they can say, yeah, these guys are proud of me. Yeah, this man, I know that I'm accepted, I'm loved by him. And that's why I can get up when I fall, when I mess up, when I feel like I screwed something up. I know that you may not be used to it, but that's why we have to practice sharing and communicating these sentiments with one another. I want to make you practice again, okay? Because I'm going to lose you. But in your life groups, with each other, brothers, let's learn how to express those kinds of things. I would say also this, be a man of your word. That's what it means by teach integrity. In your teaching, show integrity. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Do what you said you're gonna do. I'll just leave it at that. Let's go to the last one. Last principle. And girls, stop hitting the guys and be like, yeah, that's you, all right? We'll get to you in a second, okay? Sisters. Fourth principle, compel others towards real manhood. Compel others towards real manhood. The word in verse 6, when you look in verse 6, the word is urge. Urge, and that means to invite and to persuade and to encourage and to confirm. Urging men to enter into this life of real manhood. One of my favorite scenes ever, okay? I love, like, manly movies. Like, I love movies when people are fighting and things like that. And so, like, my wife thinks I'm crazy because I'll watch these movies over and over again. Like, I'll do work, and I'll just be having it on the background because I like watching it. I don't know why. I think it's, like, my inner, like, I'm totally not, like, a fighting type person, but I'm, like, kind of a wimp about it. But, like, I think inside that's what I want to be, right? I'll watch, you know, like Navy SEALs things and Delta Force and movies like 300 and, you know, like Buff Men and things like that. Okay, but anyways, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, The Return of the King, was when Elrond spoke into Aragorn's life, right? Aragorn was a ranger. He was called the Ranger, right? He just roamed around, didn't take responsibility. And finally, in a key moment of the story, what Elrond told Aragorn was this. He said, put aside the ranger, become who you were born to be. You know, sometimes when I look at men, I look at guys in our church, I want to scream in their ears, stop being a boy. Stop being a boy. You're an 18, 19, 20, 25, 30, 40-year-old boy. Instead, be the man that God wants you to be. Be the man that God has destined for you to be. And I urge them with it, like I'm urging you now. You are not a boy anymore. You are not a child anymore. Put that aside. I want to invite you into being a man. I want to invite you into experiencing that in our church. And I'll tell you the first way that you enter into manhood is when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? There's no other way to change fundamentally who you are. I'm not saying to be a man, you got to dress nicer, you got to brush your teeth better, you got to exercise and get muscles, you got to be smarter and you got to study harder. I'm not saying that that's not the starting point. The starting point to becoming a real man is putting your faith and submitting yourself to Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you confess your sins and all of the junk that's in your life, Jesus Christ forgives you of those sins, even the worst of what you've done. And He gives you this new life as a man. And that journey of growing and maturing into a real man starts only when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And then you can begin the journey of becoming a real man. My dream is that this kind of culture and this kind of brotherhood will be so compelling in our church that when they see you, fast forward 4 years from now or 5 years from now, they will see you and this little freshman from college, you know, starting university will come and they'll say, wow, I've never been in a church where there are so many guys, period. Because every church I go to, it's all old women and women only, because they're the only ones who come to church. Generally, that's the case. But in this church, the men are leading. In this church, the men live with direction and purpose. In this church, men are talking to one another and saying weird things like, I love you, and I believe in you, and I'm proud of you. And in this church, the men actually get into one another's lives and inspire and encourage and sharpen one another to live with integrity and to live with passion and to live with purpose. And they say, I feel like such a child when I'm in this church, but I feel compelled to find out why. What makes these guys, these men, tick? And then you can say, you know what? Started 4 years ago at Access. I'm praying by faith. That's what happens in us. And I'm believing by faith that God's doing that in you as men. Let's go to the sisters now. Sisters, I want to ask you a question. How should you relate to your brothers in Christ? How should you relate to your brothers in Christ? This is like kind of a side message to the guys as well. So guys, still listen up, okay? Don't put your pens down. Don't check out your minds somewhere else thinking about something else, okay? Sisters, how can you relate to your brothers in Christ? Well, you know, when I was a student in university, like I said, there were so many ways that I just needed to grow up. And by God's grace, I did, you know, I was able to take some steps to grow up a little bit. But I had this dear sister in Christ who was my life group leader 1 year. Okay, and she helped me grow up so much. So there are, as I was thinking about her, and preparing this message, there's a few things that stick out in my mind. Okay, first, she was like someone who was such a prayer warrior. She's just somebody who was so dedicated to praying. And so she would go to morning prayer every day. Morning prayer, early in the morning, she would go to the church sanctuary, and she would go there and pray. And even in where I went to the university, it was cold, okay? In the winters, it's freezing cold. The last thing you want to do is go outside when it's freezing cold and dark, and you go somewhere to pray, and it's freezing cold in there. But she went every day. And so I was like, you know what? Can you wake me up? Because I'm like not a human being yet. And so I need somebody to wake me up in the morning because I'm still a child. And to wake me up so that I can go to morning prayer. And so she did that. Every day she called me, okay? I went for a little bit, okay? But after like a week or two, I had to confess this to her, okay? What I started doing was we had a bunk bed in our dormitory. So I was on the top bunk. And I would wake up like 1 or 2 minutes before I knew she was going to call me. Back in the day, it was like room phones, you know, like old phones that go ding, right? And they're like connected to the wall. And so I would wake up and I would look at my watch and say, oh, she's going to call me in 2 minutes. I jump off my bed, unplug my phone, and then jump back into bed, okay? And I felt so guilty about that. And I actually confessed that to her. I'm sorry. You're probably wondering why I'm not picking up the phone in the mornings. It's because I unplugged the phone. I'm sorry. And that's the first thing that sticks into my mind. Second thing. Well, you know, she was just really she really wisely and carefully encouraged me to keep striving for vision for my life. I don't know how she did it, but like when we would talk and we would talk about like, you know, living for Jesus and things that she was praying about doing, I was just so inspired by her heart for God. And she just really wisely and carefully implanted in me just this desire to live for something bigger than myself, to live for God's kingdom. And those seeds were planted in me. She was one of those people who planted some of those seeds inside me. Third thing that sticks out in my mind about this sister was she was actually the life group leader who recommended me to be a leader. So the year after I was in her life group, I found myself invited to be a leader, a life group leader in the church. And to be honest, if I were to evaluate myself, my 21-year-old self, I would have said, how in the world would this guy be a leader? He can't even wake up in the morning, right? And go to class and study faithfully. He can't even do some basic human things. And yet, she was the one who empowered me and opened the doors for me to take my first steps of leadership in the church. And to me, I'm so grateful for something that she saw in me that I didn't even see in myself. And so that's what this sister did in my life to help me grow. There are four principles that I want to highlight here for sisters this afternoon, evening. First is build family-like friendships with brothers. Build family-like friendships with brothers. Sisters, learn how to treat your brothers like brothers, okay? Especially if you've had a brother, if you have a brother, then you kind of know what that means. If you've never had a brother before, then you're going to have to do a little bit of research and use your imagination a little bit. Because this is what Jesus said about our spiritual family. Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. Who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. You know, this is what we say, is that when we become believers in Jesus Christ and you become a part of a local church, you also inherit this spiritual family. And you would inherit these spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ that we need to learn how to relate with. And so for sisters, as a sister relating to your brother, what you would want, just like any sister would want for their brother, is to want the best for them and help them about things that you know they don't know anything about. Right? So help them. It's okay to help them. It's okay to see and to want the best for them. In fact, that's what sisters and brothers would do. Help them grow spiritually. In the context of biblical community, we're going to talk about boundaries in a little bit. But in the context of biblical community, when you're in life group, We're not always splitting up guys and girls, right? Because what we're trying to teach people is that I can have a healthy, normal relationship with somebody of the opposite gender. And usually for sisters, what you can really help brothers to do is to grow spiritually. You know, and I would say this, sisters, give us some grace, okay? Because, you know, actually, to be honest, we're still learning. Most brothers are going to still be in the beginning process of knowing how to receive from other people, knowing how to relate with a sister in Christ, like I talked about 2 weeks ago. That's a little bit of a challenge, but there's wisdom. You can use wisdom in doing this, and that's the second principle, which is maintain healthy boundaries with brothers. Maintain healthy boundaries with brothers. I use this illustration. I'm not sure when I use it, but I'm going to say it again. You know, bathing together as babies is okay, right? You have a little baby boy, a little baby girl. Oh, it's so cute. They're taking a bath together, right? That's what we used to do with our kids, with like friends of our, you know, kids' friends that we had. Oh, maybe they'll get married together. And when we, at their wedding, we're going to show them this picture of them bathing when they're like 6 months old, right? To blackmail them or something, to threaten them. You know, that's okay when they're 6 months old, okay? That's not okay when they're 6 years old, right? That's when we're trying to teach boys and girls. You know, you guys know that, right? Boys and girls have different body parts and things. And so because of that, you know, those things have to stay private, okay? And when that happens, even in, let's say, in high school, when you become a teenager, that's definitely, there's differences. When you get to university, those differences get distinguished even further because the differences are greater. Men are learning how to become men. Women are learning how to become women. Okay? And so there are boundaries that have to be established between men and women, healthy boundaries. Okay. So when you look at the first principle, that women, you can help build family-like friendships with brothers. That's always done in the context or with the constraints of healthy boundaries. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10 says this, likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Now this is talking about, this is instruction within the context of relationships in the local church, okay? And so we have to be, you have to be mindful of some things. And think about this. You must consider, sisters, you must consider men's visual struggles and be mindful of how you dress and how you act, okay? I'm not saying that women cannot wear shorts or, you know, like whatever kind of, you know, whatever they wear, okay? It's not that. But what I would say is that you must be mindful because men are tend to be visually stimulated, okay? When they see something, that's what gets them, you know, that's what gets them stimulated sexually. So they will notice when a woman's clothes accentuate or reveal certain physical attributes. That's just a fact of life, okay? As a male, I testify to the truth of that statement, okay? We have to be mindful. There are also some things that are not appropriate to do together as men and women, and there are some things that are not appropriate to talk about between men and women. I remember as a young man, and I remember now that I think about it, I did some stupid things, okay? One of the things that I cringe at myself doing was, when I was in university, we would stay up late and we would like pseudo study, right? Say we're studying, but we're just goofing around. And, you know, when we would study, then we'd be like, oh, let's eat. So we would make like a pot of rice and we would order some wing, you know, chicken or something like that. And, you know, then we would have like, we would just all come together and eat in somebody's room and talk, you know? When I think about it inside, and it was like guys and girls, and we would be up late, and we would be in somebody's room, and even though there's other people in there, what I realize is, you know, that's really unwise, okay? It's really unwise to be up that late with, you know, with people of the opposite gender in somebody's bedroom. And, you know, sometimes we may be like, oh, Pastor Andrew, why are you being so, like, prudish about it? Or why are you being so paranoid about it? Nothing's going to happen. Well, I will just say, I would always err on the side of being cautious and careful. You know why? Women, don't be too naive, okay? Men, there's a lot of things that go through our minds. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or confess it right now, okay? But let's just be honest, guys, okay? There's a lot of devious thoughts that come through our mind. And even if they're like, oh, I'm just interested in that girl, that's in there. And sisters, have to be aware that is a factor, okay? I know sometimes we're like, oh, that guy, no way, that guy is safe. That guy is neutral, right? No, okay? That's like the worst thing to call a guy, by the way, okay? That they're neutral or safe, okay? And no guy is that way, okay? Because that's just innate as we are depraved human beings. We're sinful in every way. Don't ever say, oh, God, oh, that guy's just safe. I can talk about this with this guy. No, actually, there's healthy boundaries that have to be honored there, that should be honored there. Be mindful of that. Be mindful of how late you are hanging out with the guy. Be mindful of what you're doing together. Be mindful of physical contact with each other that can be misunderstood. Or maybe it's exactly what you two people mean to communicate, and it's not healthy behavior. I'm aware that all of these things happen. Okay? We're not in this magical fairyland world where, you know, oh, you guys are all perfect. You guys are all pure and nice and beautiful, and you guys don't never seen any naked people or never thought of anything like lustful or something like that. No, I know that's in us. I know that we're flooded with this kind of stuff. Keep going talking about that forever, but let's go to the third point, okay? Edify your brothers with your words and your actions. You know, at the same time, it's very easy to get overcritical about guys, right? Like, yeah, those guys, they're such babies, they're such boys, blah, blah, blah. They don't know how to open the door. They don't know how to take care of themselves. They're like animals or something like that. Proverbs 12:18 says this. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's something special when we're able to use our words in ways that edify and build up your brothers in Christ. And what I would also say is refrain. Keep in mind and keep in check, you know, hating on guys, especially in public, even if it's in jest or like you're just joking around. Try to refrain from cutting guys down. Don't undermine their reputations among sisters with gossip or whatever way you would mask talking badly about people. Also, I would say acknowledge it when you see brothers stepping up. Acknowledge it when they're stepping up. Receive graciously when guys are trying to be gentlemen, opening the door. I'm actually amazed how that just doesn't get done here. I'll be like walking through and like nobody's opening the door for me, or I see somebody like, you know, there's like women and no one's opening the door for them. You know, those kinds of things are good to do as men. And women, accept that, okay? If you ever talk to my wife, she's kind of like a little bit of like, I can do it myself type girl. But she's come to accept and receive graciously when things are done, you know, nice things are done, and she receives them graciously. Do you guys know that, you know, when you're walking on the street, the man should be walking along where the road faces and the woman should be on the inside? Did you guys know that? You know why that is? Just in case a car comes running by, right? Or a horse or something. It jumps the curb. Or, you know, water gets splashed on you in mud. You're the one who protects that woman, that sister, okay? Graciously accept those kinds of things, okay? And don't be thinking, you know, don't be thinking, oh, it's, maybe that guy likes me or something. It's just men, because we're trying to step up and be gentlemen, let's do that. Let's treat all sisters that way. Amen? Not just the girl that you're interested in, okay? Also, be mindful of behavior or conversations that can be mistaken or are actually intended to be flirtatious. I said this last time, is that I think so often the norm of interactions between guys and girls are flirtatious instead of, like, honoring one another. And we have to be careful of that. Okay, I would just say this, one last thing, just with sisters, is, you know, one of the best things that you can do as sisters is help one another. And there are older sisters that can give you guidance in some of those things, like, you know, how you interact with guys or what you say or what you do. And I would say be open to learning from some of these older women about these kinds of things. Last one is encourage brothers to pursue real manhood, okay? I'll warn you, okay? Be careful. Be careful of becoming an unintended mom figure for boys, okay? What I mean by this is, this was so clear when I was in university. You know, little freshmen would come, and when they would come, their older life group leader, woman life group leader, would become like their mom, okay? Do the cooking for them, make them snacks, do their laundry, okay? And like, I'd be like, number one, you never know what's going on. I mean, you never know what's going on inside people's minds and what their real intentions are, okay? And also, you're not empowering them, men. You're not empowering these boys to actually become men. Be careful of that. Don't be a mama, okay, for mama's boys. They miss their mama back at home, and so they need somebody to do their laundry and to, like, help them pick out clothes and stuff like that. Don't do that, okay? Encourage them to pursue real manhood. Expect them to take steps of change and to mature. 1 Peter 3:1-2 says this. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. If you look at this, I know it's for wives and husbands, okay? But when you take the principle behind this, which is that by the way you live your life, sisters, you can influence brothers to be men who are leaders and who are real men, okay? Through the conduct of your lives, you can help men. That's why sometimes I get discouraged. I'm thinking, oh, there's so many women. There's no men in our church. There's just a lot of women, and that's fine. But I really wish there was more men. And sometimes sisters, I've even talked to them and say, yeah, what do we do? There's so many guys. There's no guys in our church. They're all women, and it's a problem. And it is a problem. I say pray for men to rise up. And through how you live your life and what you expect out of young men that are in our church, help them to pursue real manhood. Encourage brothers to build up good friendships with other brothers. You know, this is often said, and it goes both ways. For sometimes women will be like, yeah, you know, I don't have any girlfriends because I don't know, it's just easier to talk to guys. And I talked about that before. Same thing. Guys will sometimes be like, I just don't have a lot of guy friends. I just, you know, but there's some girls that I will open up to. And, you know, when guys do that, you listen for a little bit. Okay, ladies, you can listen for a little bit. But if it's like getting too deep, say, you know what, just time out. I'll be praying for you, okay? Don't say it as meanly as this, okay? You have to use a little bit more smoothness, okay? But say, you know what, there's this great brother that I know who's our life group leader. I really encourage you to talk to him about it because he can really walk you through this. And he's a guy that I really respect and I really admire and that I think you can really learn a lot from. Connect these younger men to older men and encourage them to pursue those kinds of friendships with other brothers. Amen? Okay, here's the life application for us as we conclude. It's three questions. And what we're going to do is in your life groups, we want you to split up and Men, you'll have a conversation with each other. Women, you'll have a conversation with each other in your life group. So life group leaders, figure out how you're going to split this up. The first question is this. What principles about how we relate to one another are strengths in our church and in our life group? So, you know, taking this sheet of paper, your notes are here, right? So for if it's the men, say, okay, contributing to real culture of real manhood, sharpening one another to follow Jesus in practical ways, learning to communicate with others well, compelling others towards real manhood. What are some of these principles? What are strengths that you see in our church? And what are strengths that you see in our life group regarding these principles for brothers? And then what weaknesses do you see in our church regarding these things? And in our life group regarding these things? Third is, how can we specifically address these weaknesses in order to honor God and others? So as brothers, how are we going to work on some of these principles so that we can get better? And brothers, we want you to talk about that. So in your group, maybe someone's going to bring up something like, yeah, you know, we always talk about Pokemon. I don't know. And, you know, after a while, it gets tiring to talk about Pokemon. Let's actually talk about other things that will help each other, deeper things. That's, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's an example, okay? Now, women is the same thing, except what principles of how we relate to brothers. What are strengths in our church? What are strengths in our life group? What have you noticed about some people, what they do that you can praise or that you can appreciate? And then what are some things that you need, that you think are weaknesses and that we can be improving, not we, you can be improving upon as sisters in your relationships with brothers? And then lastly, how can we specifically address those weaknesses? How can we make some changes? Okay?